Blog Talk Radio.
Dr. Clarence Robert Jones III, United States Marine Corps retired, here at 1600 Washington, D.C., November 2nd, 2010, United States of America, planet Earth, third planet from the sun. Let's get right down to it. What a day. What a day. Yeah, I am so excited about the possibility tonight and how it's all going to go down. Oh, man, I cannot wait. We have a caller already, and I haven't even started my monologue. I haven't even started talking about how exciting this is, how exciting things are going to be. Let's talk about it. Caller, you're on the air. Who am I talking to?
Oh, you know, my name is Marvin.
Marvin. Sandusky, Ohio, bro, from someplace in Ohio, a good friend of mine. We have been we've been chatting together for more than 10 years now. He is a liberal. I mean, ultra liberal. He is a socialist. He's a Marxist. He's bordering on being a closet commie. Talk about it, Marvin. Talk about today's event.
My opinion, today's event to me isn't going to mean anything for the Tea Party, because the bulk of the Tea Party, their base is older, poor white people, and who take advantage of the system. They are all on Social Security, they're on Medicaid, they're on socialist programs. So I can't wait until they go to D.C., And they're going to be shocked at what they find in D.C. They're going to be shocked that corporate America, throw your support behind corporate America because it's not supporting the base of the Tea Party. And I can't wait. Let's do away with everything. Let's do away with all of Medicaid. Let's do away with it. There's no Medicaid for nobody.
Marvin, have you ever taken part in a Tea Party event?
No, I would never will either.
Well, how do you know?
My mark of a true conservative is, like I said before, a Eugene Bull comment from the South. That's a true conservative. I mean, my opinion is this. If they were like a Ross Barnett from Mississippi, but these John Bonner from Ohio, Sarah Palin, they're not true conservatives. I mean, I respect the old South for true conservatives, and I don't think you would have been invited to a Citizens Council rally, which is the same platform as the Tea Party in 1960. You think you would have been able to fit into the Citizens Council in Mississippi, 1964?
Not if it was run by Democrats. But I'll tell you what, Marvin, I have I've taken part in quite a few Tea Party events here both in D.C. and the Atlanta area. And I have to tell you, there are a lot of young folks who are involved, and there were certainly more more African Americans than you'd think. I would actually recommend that if a Tea Party event comes to your town, that you just go and check it out, just to see what it's all about for your own, you know, with your own eyes from your and then come back and then talk about it, and you know because
well,
go on
go ahead
well
go ahead.
Because you
about,
really can't get the
me,
mm-hmm.
go ahead.
You really can't get a true sense of what a Tea Party event is all about unless you actually go to one. You know, people, you know, I hear the same arguments about my guy Rush Limbaugh and how people just can't stand Rush Limbaugh. And most of the folks who talk about Rush the way they do with such passion, such fervor, they reveal that they've actually never even heard one of his shows.
Well, I think of Rush Limbaugh,
mm-hmm.
a drug addict. I mean, he has sold drugs. He has got hooked up prescription drugs. He's been married 4 or 5 times. Like, I can tell you this. Does Rush Limbaugh, would you feel right? You think Eugene Bull Connor would have been your friend?
Let's get back. Hold on a minute now. You said some things that are just completely off base. Rush Limbaugh has been married, yes, 3 times. This is his third marriage. He's never sold drugs. I don't even know why I'm defending this lunacy. He's never sold drugs. He was hooked on prescription drugs for pain, and you know, none of us can say what we would do if we experienced pain constantly, day in and day out, and what we would do to try to alleviate their pain and suffering that we feel every day. None of us can say what we'd do to do that. He was not doing any sorts of illegal drugs, cocaine, heroin, or anything like that. It was prescription drugs, and it was for pain. Come on, let's keep it real. But anyway, let's move on. Dusky, Marvin. Well, I know him as Sandusky, Ohio bro, from Yahoo Chat, but his real name is Marvin. Marvin, you know, I know you're a liberal. I know how you feel about Obama. I know you worship the ground he walks on. I know you think he's the Messiah and all that goes with that. But, dude, attend a Tea Party rally. Then come back and say what you feel about it. You've never attended a rally. How would you know how those?
Until you answer my question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you consider who is more of a conservative to you, David Duke? Because he supports the Tea Party.
David Duke, is he even still alive? He's not even relevant.
David Duke. I mean, David Duke. I mean, when you look at the Tea Party, like I said, when you
David
look at the
Tea
Duke? Party platform, when you
well,
look
how
at
did you
Tea
dig
Party
him
platform,
up?
Well, David Duke, he supports the Tea Party. I mean, really?
I support the Tea Party, Dusky, and you know that I'm black.
Let me ask you a question. When they say they're taking America back, give me a physical description of these people they're trying to take it back from.
Well, they're trying to take it back from people, the tax and spend liberals. Liberals who spend more money than we have. You know, Dusky, you know, it's true that America is a very wealthy nation, but you don't get anywhere by spending more money than you have.
Did you go to college?
Yes, of course, you know that I did.
Did you go to college?
Yes, I did.
Did your kids go to college?
Yes.
Did they get student loans and Pell Grants? Because they
no.
did.
No,
yes,
no.
Did you pay for all this out of your pocket?
No, I did not. They got scholarships.
So you did not. So you can say you never ever benefited from a public education, because right now I make a considerable amount. I probably make more money annually.
Dusky, the Tea Party is not. the Tea Party is not about, you know, limiting student aid and all those things.
No,
it's all about fiscal responsibility. It's an attempt to ensure that this country survives.
I don't want to pay for their Medicaid.
Well,
why
then
should
don't
I pay for their Medicaid. I shouldn't pay for their Medicaid.
Well,
if
then
they want,
exactly.
If the Tea Party wants, no, I don't want to pay for their Medicaid. I don't want to pay for their Social Security. Let's cut them off too, Sandusky.
I am a Tea Party member. I don't get Medicaid. What is up with this Medicaid?
A lot of Tea Party members get Medicaid.
But how do you know?
I know that.
Did you know that I'm a member of the Tea Party? Did you know that until now? Yes, I am, and I am not on Medicaid.
But I mean, honestly, when they say don't touch my health care, who's the health care they touching? I will say it's safe to say I have a better retirement plan, a better health care than 90% of the Tea Party. I know for the company I work for.
How do you know that?
I know that. I know that. I know the company I work for.
How do you
know? I
know
for the retirement system I have. I know that.
How do you know?
Because I can pretty much look at what's in America, what name a company you work for, and I can say basically I have a better plan than 3/4 of the Tea Party.
Marvin, you've never been to a Tea Party event. You only know about the Tea Party what you've read and what you've seen on TV, probably MSNBC or CNN or something like that. You only know one Tea Party member, and that's me. Personally,
I've worked several. I work with several.
And you believe that the majority of Tea Party people who are members of the Tea Party or part of the Tea Party movement rather are on Medicaid, and that's your only argument? Is that all you got?
A lot of these retirees. I mean, when they talk about fiscal responsibility, I mean, look at George Bush. What you tell me? You tell me, was George Bush fiscally responsible?
Yes.
No, he wasn't.
He was as responsible as he could be with a Democratic Congress, with a Democrat Congress and Democrat Senate. The majority, they held the majority for the last 4 years.
I mean, until you could tell me and show me, I'm not you said I'm not a big fan of Obama. Truthfully, I look at it as a realist. You would not have been accepted, and the Tea Party's platform is very similar to the Citizens Council, the white Citizens Councils of the South. I believe, and if you think you would have went and sat at the table with Eugene Bull Connor in the pre-1964, no, you they would have laughed you right on out the door. Dude.
Marvin, we're not in the
2010. No. But when they make these comments that they're taking care of people, I don't want to take care of anybody. So I would tell them, and I would say this to you, let's cut them off. I don't want to pay for their kids' education. I don't want to pay for their Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to pay for their streets. I don't want to pay for their kids going to school and their grandkids going to school. I don't want to pay for none of it. So give me my money back. If they want to say that, I want my money back. Because how many people in the Tea Party in the city I live in got kids in this public school system? And my property taxes are funding their kids and grandkids.
All right.
I don't want to pay for their kids' education.
All right. Okay.
So
hang on. I have another.
And tell your friends that.
Okay.
I will attend the Tea Party rally.
All right. I have another caller, Dusky. I'm going to have to put you on hold or ask you to call back.
I'll call back.
All right. Great.
All right. Fine.
Yes, caller.
Good afternoon. How's it going?
Good afternoon. All is well. How are you?
Good. This is Rod over up in New Hampshire. Now I got to ask you: does Mr. Dusky, does he actually understand history? Because he is melding so much together into one pot. I mean, first of all, he's got to understand that if he's talking about the South pre-1960, it's not conservative; it was Democrat. Today's liberals. That did all that stuff that he's talking about. I mean, just go back and read the book. And if he wants to go back even further, understand that Frederick Douglass, a black man, helped start the current Republican Party under Lincoln. Another black man. I mean, this kind of stuff is kind of the ignorance is really ridiculous. And
well,
it's hard to defeat.
Indeed, but people like Marvin Sandusky, Ohio bro, or I call him Dusky. He would like to conveniently suspend. Well, he'd like to suspend disbelief. He'd like to conveniently let that just kind of go by the wayside. History, facts, those kind of things don't really play into the narrative that that Dusky prefers to subscribe to. So he's not gonna, you know, history for him is. That's just a bit inconvenient, I think.
Yeah, and his argument for not wanting to pay for everything. Well, what does he think his liberal friends want to do? They want to take everybody's money via taxes and fees and licensing, and then spread the wealth around. I mean, that's his man Obama. He said that. I think when you spread the wealth around, it's good for everybody, is what he said.
Yeah,
and I don't understand. Well, if he doesn't want to pay for all this stuff, then the first thing he needs to do is vote for somebody who isn't going to tax him half to death, which is usually a conservative.
Well, that's exactly right. And President Obama, obviously, it's becoming more and more obvious that President Obama is not what he subscribed, what he said he was going to be when he ran for office. He's completely revealed himself to be an ultra ideologue, I'll go ahead and use it, the word socialist. And it's not a dirty word, but it's just not what America is. It's not what America is all about. And he's revealed himself to be that way. And people like Marv and Sandusky, they don't understand that that using other people's money simply does not work. That nowhere on this planet in the history of our the world has socialism worked. Taking money from one group of people and giving it to another simply does not work. And people like Sandusky, and I know a lot of folks like him, they don't understand that.
Well, so. All they got to do is just look at all they have to really do is look at what is happening in Europe at the moment. I mean, England, Britain is stepping back from its socialistic ways. France is stepping back. I mean, you know, for the past 2 months, we heard about how they were threatening to raise the retirement age, which they finally did, from 60 to 62. Sweden is changing some of its socialistic ways, and countries all over the place are doing this. But we seem to be the only ones who want to go headlong into this type of system, which has been proven time and time again not to work. And I just can't really understand why, if somebody really wants to spend their own money, why they think it is quite all right to vote for people who want to spend that money for you. And they quite frankly, they say it quite often that, we need to raise taxes because you aren't going to spend your money properly. They have said this, quote unquote, numerous times.
Exactly. They know what's best for you. You're not capable of conducting your own life. We know what's best for you. Harry Reid, Nancy Pelosi, personified. They just believe that they know what to do better than you. That you're not, sophisticated enough to understand these complex fiscal issues or that sort of thing. So, but you know what? We're in a new era. Things are changing. Today is the day where it starts, where it begins. And let's hope that, that the Republicans can go ahead and right the ship and they don't let us down like they did the last time they controlled the House.
I think it'll
Senate.
Be a little bit more difficult for them. Well, not more difficult for them to do that, but it'll be a little bit more difficult for them to get away with it this time because of the Tea Party and everybody who's in it. It's not really a party. It's a movement, and I think it's a movement that is here to stay. And I think that if Dusky actually – I think what he's afraid of is that if he actually goes to one of those events, he might find himself actually agreeing with them. That's his fear.
I believe that's true. I've known him for many years, and I believe that's true. He will never – as he stated, he'll never go to a rally because – and he won't state why. And if he does, it'll be something wild and crazy. You're exactly right. You're right on the money. And I do appreciate the call. Please stay tuned. All right. So here we are. We've got Sandusky, Ohio, calling in. stating that most Tea Party patriots are on Medicaid, and apparently that seems to be his only argument with regard to the Tea Party. I've asked him if he's ever attended a rally. He says he never has and he never will. So basically, my good friend is close-minded to the subject. He has preconceived notions regarding the Tea Party, and that's quite unfortunate. He's been a friend for a long time, and he doesn't really seem to understand what's going on with the world. Well, today is a fantastic day. Today's an exciting day. I hope y'all are just excited as I am about the prospects for tonight. I know I'm going to be glued to the television, and yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say it. I'm going to be watching Fox News. We report, you decide, fair and balanced, and all of that, and so much more. I'm going to be glued to the television all night long. I tell you, I can't wait. Well, earlier today, I was listening to my guy, Rush Limbaugh, and I tell you what, he was so right on the money earlier today when he broadcast portions from a news conference he did, a conservative news show that he did a couple of years ago, and it was really great. Glenn Beck topped him last year at the but he did such a great job. I want to talk a little bit about what's going on in my home state of Illinois, where Barack Obama's Senate seat is up for grabs, and it appears as though the Republican candidate is pretty much running away. It seems to be like a gorgeous fall morning in Illinois. I was watching a video of Chicago news, and the Illinois voters are headed to the polls to elect full-term successors to Barack Obama and disgraced former Governor Rob Blagojevich. So here I am. I'm reading Politico, and it says in a pre-election polling, Republican U.S. Representative Mark Kirk has a slight edge in a very tight U.S. Senate race with Democrat Alex Janolius, and Republican Bill Brady had a moderate lead over Democrat Pat Quinn in the governor's race. So it looks like that race is going to pretty much go down to the wire. But how embarrassing will it be if Barack Obama's old Senate seat goes to a Republican? That's going to be interesting. Of course, Harry Reid's seat is in jeopardy with Sharon Engel outdistancing him in the polls. Well, if you're paying attention to any of the media today, if you paid any attention to any media over the weekend, you're looking at live panic. And this is according to Rush Limbaugh. You're seeing panic personified. You're seeing it from the state-controlled drive-by media, as Rush points out. You're seeing it from the Democratic Party, and you're seeing it from the elite in the Republican Party. Sheer, utter panic. A general reviews. Of what I'm speaking regarding the panic that's there. Rush states that there's a newfound cynicism, media cynicism, about Washington all the time. To put it in perspective, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, starting in 2007 through 2008, through the 2008 campaign, the people selling us Obama sold us change in Washington. It was going to be, stick with me on this, I know it's redundant, but it's important, post-partisan, post-racial, we're going to be almost utopia-like. People who have never gotten along before, we're going to get along. The races, we're finally going to bury the hatchets. The sexes, genders, we're going to bury the hatchet. The rest of the world was going to love us. A lot of the people went to the polls thinking this was possible. One man was going to make it possible. Barack Obama was going to change Washington. Starting at the end of last week, through this weekend, and into this morning, story after story after story, Now it comes out he can't change Washington. There's so much cynicism in the media today. Folks are turning on Barack Obama, and it's almost embarrassing. Mr. Leg Tingle over at MSNBC has turned on Obama. Arianna Huffington, socialist hack that she is turning on Barack Obama. I tell you what, it's embarrassing. I almost feel sorry for him. Almost. I don't know what to say about it. I'm just really, really excited about tonight and the prospects for the future. And I just can't wait. I just can't wait. I hope that that you all are just as excited about tonight as I am. I hope that you're ready. And I think it's going to be great. Already, we're hearing about fraud at the polls. We're hearing in Nevada that folks are going into the voting booth, even today, and Harry Reid's name has already been checked at the ballot. We're hearing from exit polls coming out of Nevada that Harry Reid's name has already been checked when folks walk into the voting booth. That even though they vote for Sharon Angle, Harry Reid's name comes out. The Democrat's name comes out. It is amazing what we're seeing here today. It is amazing that we're getting report after report of election tampering all across the country in key places, Ohio, Illinois, Nevada, California, and even in Connecticut, we're receiving reports that that there's electioneering, election tampering. I like this article here at the New York Times. The New York Times op-ed to Obama. Why don't you try and stop acting so smug? And that's the question. It says here, I was among the early and strong supporters of Barack Obama. America was stuck, and it seemed to me he could take the country forward into the 21st century, which began so tragically in downtown New York and here in the nation's capital. Like many at midterm, I'm struggling with my disappointment. Oh yeah, says another. He's too cool a customer, a beguiling construct more than flesh and blood, an empty vessel for misplaced idealism, a politician adverse to pressing the flesh. And what else is politics? A man who, not for nothing, tilts his chin upwards when he speaks. I was talking to a Democratic Party donor, a Kansas City businessman. He said he'd given over $30,000 to Obama and not a word of thanks. He was irritated. Lots of people think this president is too smug to write thank you notes or make quick courtesy calls. This is a piece coming out of the New York Times. I found it to be wholeheartedly interesting. And some of the comments are, Obama acts superior because he knows he's inferior. A classic defense mechanism. If he's so damn smart, why doesn't he make available his transcripts and all the rest of the information he's hiding? Why did he get a ghostwriter to write his books? Why can't he speak without a teleprompter? I love that one. Why doesn't he know what's in the bills he signed? The guy is a shell of a man. Now a cornered rat. There is no there. Wow. Stinging. I've always thought that Barack Obama was a bit of a con artist, that coupled with his socialist views, he is the ultimate con man. I attended the church that Barack Obama attended in Chicago. As some of you know, I am a native of Chicago. And I attended Trinity Baptist Church back when it was just a small church, not the mega church that it that has become. And I attended the church for, well, about 3 or 4 months until the pastor started getting out of hand. And I was forced to leave that church. Not forced, I chose to. Because I knew that such talk like, not God bless America, but God damn America, would send me out of that pew and over to whoop that ass and wind up in Cook County Jail for the night. I would not tolerate any such thing. And for Barack Obama to sit in that pew every single Sunday and say that he didn't know that this was all going on, well, that started me to thinking, okay, this guy, there's something not right with this guy. Now, I'll admit to all of you that I was a supporter of Barack Obama. That's hard to admit because here's what I thought. My thinking was Barack Obama's not going to win the nomination. And John McCain would become president, whom I was lukewarm about as well. But I thought that Hillary Clinton had a much better chance of beating John McCain. So why not go with the weakest candidate? So I supported Barack Obama, but with great misgivings because I knew that there was just something not right about him, and I knew early on. And it seems that a lot of Americans have figured that, as I have had then, that there's something not quite right with this president. Unfortunately, Barack Obama, as we all know, was swept into office, John McCain did not succeed where I hoped he would, but I'd like to talk a moment about a couple of things that I think are going to be really important in the coming months, and that's whether or not Barack Obama will change course, a la Bill Clinton. And did the way that Bill Clinton did in 2004. My concern is that the Republican Party will succeed in bringing us back from the brink, and will make it possible for Barack Obama to look good enough to win re-election for a second term. You know, so for me it's a double-edged sword, because if we have a Republican Congress and possibly a Republican Senate, and the party is able to rail in spending, to provide businesses with confidence to lend and release the boatload of cash they have stashed, and unemployment goes down, and hiring starts, and the economy starts to grow, and 2012 rolls around, and we're doing well because the Republican Party has taken the reins. I wonder whether the Republican Party will get the credit in 2012, or whether or will Barack Obama, being the consummate politician that he is, co-opt any success that the Republican Party is able to achieve and parlay that into re-election. Interesting, isn't it? It's an interesting thought, because that's exactly what happened with Bill Clinton. The Republican Party was able to bring us out from the brink by controlling spending and fostering competition and goodwill with the businesses, with the business community. Hiring was, I think we were at? We were at 4% unemployment, anywhere from 4 to 6% or somewhere around there. Toward the end of Clinton's first term, and it enabled him to parlay that into a second term. And I just simply do not want to give Barack Obama a second chance to ruin this country. Clearly, Barack Obama meant what he said when he said that he wanted to fundamentally transform the United States of America. I'm not exactly sure what he meant by that, but I have an idea. And this idea of sharing the wealth of the statement that he made during just before his campaign, when he said that the Supreme Court never addressed the idea of redistribution of wealth, and all of the many socialist czars and folks he has working for him, it just seems to me that to give him a second chance is courting disaster. So I believe that, to wrap this segment up, if the Republicans are able to sweep through Congress and get a majority, could this be a double-edged sword for us? Could it possibly have been better to let Barack Obama, give him just enough rope to hang himself? Because what we're doing is we're taking that, by the end of the night, we'll have taken that rope away. And either Barack Obama will shift to the middle, where as we know the majority of the Americans are, or will he continue with his quest to fundamentally transform the United States of America? Something to think about. Our call-in number is 347-884-8500. Call in. Tell me what you think. You know, one of the problems with Barack Obama is that he's smug and arrogant. But more in addition to that, are his ideals. All these people fell into Barack Obama's cult of personality so easily. There's endless, mindless hype around President Obama. And at that time, I'm just kind of taking up where I left off when I talked about being a member of the same church as Barack Obama at one point. Over the course of Barack Obama's campaign, I became very skeptical. And the more I looked into Mr. Obama, the more I disliked and feared what he would do to the nation if he got elected. And sadly, I was proven right. So let's hope that tomorrow will be a new beginning, and that the Republican Party will do the right things, because truly we are on probation for the next 2 years, and it's going to be very difficult to it's going to be very difficult not to screw up. Oh my God, what a mess. I can tell you this right now. I'm getting reports in that the races in Nevada, in Chicago, and in New York are heating up, that more than the usual amount of complaints of voter fraud are coming in. It seems to me that even after tomorrow, there are going to be controversies and challenges, and that we're going to, some of these races aren't going to be definitively decided by tomorrow. Some of the races are going to be challenged. But I do believe that after tonight, we will have a majority in Congress, and that we will have a new beginning. It's just going to be, it's just going to be a little bit, there are going to be a few controversies, and I find that to be unfortunate. Well, speaking of controversies, speaking of vote tampering and voting shenanigans, the Black Panther Party, the new Black Panther Party, are back in play. Apparently, Eric Holder's light-handedness regarding the last new Black Panther episode wasn't quite enough. And did anybody really think that that it would be? Fox 29 News in Philadelphia spotted new Black Panther Party members standing outside a local polling place. The same one where voter intimidation was reported 2 years ago. The man was seen outside the polling place in North Philadelphia. He was wearing a pin that indicated his party affiliation, along with a black hat, sunglasses, and leather coat. Typical Black Panther garb. A reporter says that they spoke with the man briefly and asked him why he was standing in front of the poll doors. His response was no comment. So I guess voter intimidation in Philadelphia is back in play, and that's a shame. And it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out, and whether or not the Justice Department decides that this matter needs to be looked into with a little bit more, fervor, perhaps. A check with the Philadelphia election officials revealed no voter intimidation reports at the polling location related to the man. So, I guess he's just kind of hanging around. You know, got no place else to go, nothing else to do with himself. Okay, we'll see how that works. So, right now, we have the first polling places are going to be closed in another hour and a half, and so we'll start getting results in fairly soon. And it appears that that tonight is going to be a very, very, very long night. I wonder if any of you out there have experienced any issues at the polling places lately. I was just going over some notes here as it relates to the Delaware Senate race between Democrat Chris Coons and Republican Tea Party favorite Christine O'Donnell. It seems like the Coons camp is a bit nervous. Coons and his campaign manager have been complaining of voter intimidation. In a noon email alert to supporters, Coons campaign manager Christy Gleason said close monitoring of voter turnout in state's 41 representative districts showed lower turnout in Newcastle and Kent continues. Wouldn't that be interesting? I called it. I'm excited right now because I called and I put my reputation, my considerable reputation on the line the other day when I, when my prognostication was revealed, when I said that Christine O'Donnell will shock the world, when Christine O'Donnell will shock the political world by pulling this race out in a squeaker, that Christine O'Donnell, and I think she's quite pretty, by the way, she's attractive. I like looking at her. I don't know about you, you know, witch or not. It doesn't matter to me. I think she's pretty. And I think she's passionate. And those are two really good assets to have when you're a politician and, you know, just a general overall person. But it looks like to win, Mr. Coons will have to get heavy support from Democrats and independents in Newcastle, because that's the state's most populous county. In the primary, Miss O'Donnell drew heavy support from the state's other two counties, Kent and Sussex, which tend to skew more to the right. So it looks like things are that Mr. Coons is on the edge of his seat here, and it looks like things may not be as rosy for him as he would like. And so that's a race to watch. It really is. Minnesota. They have been problems there with their counting machines. So now we have more issues going on. The Republican Party of Minnesota says it's received multiple complaints about failing tabulation machines at polling places around the state. How many of you know that the polling places, the machines that we used to vote on, the majority of those machines are repaired by SEIU union folk, union technicians. A lot of folks didn't know that. And is there a conspiracy? Huh. Probably not. Probably not. Well, I tell you, there is there's magic in the air. There's hope. Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna say it. There's hope and change coming. Tonight, Democrats will receive a crushing rebuke. More to the point, voters will be delivering a verdict on the first 2 years of the Obama administration. Midterm elections are almost always unpleasant experiences. We know that for the White House. Doesn't matter whether it's a Democrat or Republican. But when the economy's weak, I mean, doubles the issue. Key races that should be safe for the party in power are up for grabs now. President Obama and his policies have nationalized this election, and I simply cannot. I can't keep saying it enough. I cannot express enough how important it is for those of you who have not voted, to get out and vote. Get out and vote. And were I home in Chicago, if I were home in Chicago right now in Illinois, I would recommend that folks vote early and vote often. That's a joke, given that my city is known for its history of corruption. I'm just kidding. But in Nevada, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid has a huge war chest in the state. Mr. Obama won in 2008 by 12 points. Right now, Mr. Reid is trailing Sharon Angle in the vote count. In West Virginia, Joe Manchin, a popular Democrat governor, is running for the Senate. Yet he lags behind Joe Ricci right now in the poll numbers. Is there any doubt that this election is a referendum on the Obama administration? Any at all? There are two books I'm recommending. Every week, I recommend a new book in the Dr. Jones Book Club. It's much like the Oprah Book Club, except it has more of a political bent. The first book I'm recommending for this week is The Manchurian President. The title is The Manchurian President: Barack Obama's Ties to Communist, Socialist, and Other Anti-American Extremists, by Aaron Klein, with Brenda J. Elliott. When a relentless principled journalist successfully unearths the story of the decade, society wins. Tens of millions of Americans sense there's something very wrong with the President of the United States, but they don't know exactly what. The Manchurian President answers that question. In writing this exhaustively researched book, which is thoroughly documented with over 800 endnotes, Aaron Klein, with Brenda J. Elliott, definitively exposes just how dangerous Barack Obama really is as America's president and commander-in-chief. Among the book's chilling findings, Obama's deep ties to an anti-American fringe nexus, instrumental in building his political career, some members of which are helping draft White House policy. Obama's extensive connection to Acorn and its union affiliates, including much new information not previously documented elsewhere, extremists exposed in the White House, including top czars and communist-linked Valerie Jarrett and David Axelrod. Obama's health care policy, pushed and crafted by extremists. Obama's deep association with the Nation of Islam. Obama's ties to terrorists, Bill Ayers, and much more. That are much more extensively researched than ever previously disclosed. The Manchurian President. Pick it up. I wholeheartedly recommend it. I read it cover to cover, and it's chilling. And the interesting thing about this book is that the author of this book wrote this book at the very beginning of Barack Obama's presidency and researched it well before. Throughout the campaign cycle, and it appears that most of what was written is coming to pass, almost like the Book of Revelations. It seems to be the Book of Revelations as it relates to the Obama presidency. So I recommend this book highly. You'll find it to be chillingly entertaining. And quite factual. The next is The Blueprint: Obama's Plans to Subvert the Constitution and Build an Imperial Presidency, written by Ken Blackwell and Ken Kozlowski. Edwin Meese III writes, it's an important and timely book, no doubt. From noted conservative leader Ken Blackwell and Washington, D.C. based constitutional attorney and journalist Ken Kozlowski comes an urgently needed book about President Barack Obama's blueprint to centralize power in the White House, subvert the Constitution, and transform the United States of America into a militant secular welfare state dominated by an overbearing central government. Sounds familiar? The authors identify and discuss more than 20 tactics being taken by the Obama administration to restructure the country and ensure perpetual liberal rule, such as changing voting laws, politicizing the census, remember that? Coercing corporations into adopting its policies, planning to destroy talk radio, and seeking to make millions of illegal aliens into voting citizens. By means both sharp and subtle, President Obama aims to change Americans' views about government, liberty, and even God. Wow. Pick that one up. You got to have it. If you want to know what's going on and you want to be a part of what's happening, and you just want to research what is going on with this administration, these two books tell it all. The man, I know sometimes some of these things sound so conspiratorial. And a lot of times I come across that way as some conspiracy theorist. But when you read the book, if you read the blueprint and you read the Manchurian President, just think for a moment, what happened today in American politics? You'll find that what happened today or yesterday or a week ago or a month ago, that the book said that's exactly what would happen. Like I said, it's almost like reading the book of Revelations, but for this time, for right now, once again, I urge you to get out and vote. Go out and see what's going on in the world and vote. Because tomorrow is going to be a new day. Tomorrow is going to be the day when America, well, it'll be morning in America, won't it? I couldn't help myself. It's morning in America. All right. So we're going to close the show today, and I'll see you guys tomorrow. We'll talk again tomorrow, and we'll talk about all the things that happened tonight. And the things that are going to happen tomorrow. It's going to be an exciting night and an even more exciting day tomorrow. Please come back. Call in. Let's talk about it. God bless you. And may God keep you and keep you safe. And if you haven't, once again, if you haven't gotten out and voted, by all means do. And let's have a new day. A new day tomorrow. God bless you.
In the darkest of your private room, you've been kicking at the sand of the moon.